others throughout the New Jersey Synod, our 172 other congregations, which we share a partnership in spreading the gospel for the sake of the world. And I would thank you for your partnership in that sharing. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that by the power of your Spirit you have brought us to this place to hear your word, to share your supper, to sing your praise, to receive once again the forgiveness of your Son. We pray that same Holy Spirit will descend upon our hearts and our minds to open us to fully receive and to share as we leave this place the same love that you poured into our lives to all we meet in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The prophet looks out on of death with the hot breath of your wrath. Transform our justice system. Increase our compassion for immigrants. Take away our love of violence. Purify us with refiner's fire. Assure us, God, that you have acted already. Give us indicators that you haven't turned your back on us. This Advent is a time to pray. We strain to see just a glimpse of a silver lining in our sin-sick lives, and we yearn for the coming of the Lord into our lives, into our actions, into our intentions, into the church, into government on all levels, into our social relationships, and into our splintered world. But some days it feels like the clouds just keep coming. Alzheimer's, cancer, holiday blues, alcoholism, complacent communities, and domestic violence. Is God forever playing hide and seek? Or maybe just plain old hide? One of my favorite movies is a very old movie called Cool Family. In it, Paul Newman stars as who has been convicted for cutting the heads off parking meters. And then he's sentenced to a work camp where he gets into all kinds of trouble and spends time in solitary confinement and tries to escape by running away, altogether makes the situation worse for himself. But in one pivotal scene, Luke stands in the pouring rain in a crisis moment on the train gang, and he cries out, God, love me, hate me, just let me know you're there. That's our moment. It's precisely in the honesty of our dark moments when we recognize that the world is not what God intended, that we hear a whisper of a promise. It's precisely in the darkness that we appreciate the contrasting glimpse of light that is sneaking out of heaven's gate. At one minute, we can hear the psalmist shake her fist in heaven with, my God, why have you forsaken me? But at the next can say, yet you are the midwife who took me from the womb and saw that I was nourished from my mother's breast. Enough hope comes alive at the back of its distress to move from pleading, oh Lord, how long, to asserting, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. And again today from Isaiah, we get that contrast once again. Our reading began with, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. But later the writer confesses, yet you are our Father. We are clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Oh, what hope hinges on that little word. Today we celebrate that yet that we receive from God, maybe just a glimpse, but real nonetheless. Today, in the midst of lament and the reality of sinfulness, we are daring to hang our hope on God's yet.
Mark, you're wondering how this all was applied.
You're being installed today as to serve as pastor, teacher, counselor, prophet, comforter, leader. Your presence here is a sign of God's yet to this community. You will name the realities that could defeat us, and you will proclaim the hope that God in Christ is here in the face of these realities. Easter baskets and all those presents out there.